Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll be looking at a few verses here. I'll probably begin reading about verse 14 and read through to verse 21 for the reading this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 through 21. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, we do thank you that you bless us with your word, that we may be encouraged in many things. And here in this passage, Lord, we are encouraged in those songs of faith, wherein we do sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And we thank you, Father, that they are encouragement one to another, and in our walk of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the title of the message this morning is Songs of Faith. We find that one of the things that most people do is enjoy singing. And, of course, there are many songs in the world that we might sing, many catchy tunes, as it were, and various lyrics that people enjoy. But for the Christian, we find that the songs that most often come to our hearts to encourage us and to bless us are the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs of the Scriptures. And we find that they have been a blessing to us for, of course, many hundreds of years, even since the first century church. And before that, we find, for in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms was a book of songs to be sung antiphonally by the Levites as they sang at various seasons of worship of God. And of course, I'm sure you all remember well David and his harp, and how that he played upon his harp and even sang out there in the field as he tended his sheep as a shepherd. And then later he became a minstrel to King Saul, and he sang for the king and played upon his harp for the king. We find that Deborah sang in the Bible. We find that Hannah sang in the Bible. We find that various songs are given, the Song of Moses. All these songs, which are so important to us, have in many ways, many times, they have kind of inspired people to write lyrics and to produce songs. Maybe you have kind of written a song at one point or another. Or perhaps you sing songs in the night while you're sleeping. And you say, well, that's unusual, but I have woken up and been singing a song kind of to myself in my sleep. A hymn, a spiritual song. And or maybe you've been riding in the car, and all of a sudden a song comes to you, and you sing it. Or perhaps, you know, the proverbial in the shower type thing, where you sung in the shower. But here we find the most encouraging thing for us is to see the singing of the Scriptures, the singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Well, let's look at the passage here a little bit and see some of what it has to say. Of course, in the book of Ephesians here, we find there are certain exhortations to the believer's walk, and some of these words may seem a little bit foreign to us, but the Apostle Paul says, because I have been encouraging you in your walk of faith, let me tell you this in verse 14, he says, wherefore, he saith, awake. Well, we know what it is to wake up. And to wake up, we get out of bed in the morning and we try to get ourselves awake so that we can function for today. Well, what is it to be spiritually awake, you see? He goes on to say, awake thou that sleepest, and he's using this contrast here, awaking as opposed to sleeping, and then he uses another, arise from the dead. Well, it's difficult to do that in a real literal sense, isn't it? You can't be dead and raise yourself to life. But in a metaphorical sense, you know, when you wake up from a sleep, a deadness of sleep, you arise and you arise from kind of a deep sleep, a deep slumber. And he says, and what does he go on to say then? He says, and Christ shall give thee light. So when we are awake spiritually, when we are awake in Christ, when we are seeking the will of God, the life of God in us, we come awake and we seek that light which is in Christ, the light. Well, the light is very important, isn't it? We look on a dark, dreary day. It's not so much enjoyment about looking outside, is it? You look outside on a dark day and say, oh, I don't know if I feel like doing anything today. It may be cold or whatever, maybe raining, maybe just overcast and might be a chill, and it's kind of dark and dreary. But when there's light, when the sun is shining bright and all of a sudden, well, you get in the car and you go for a little ride or something and all of a sudden you feel better. But you also see people walking. They're walking everywhere. And because they enjoy the light and they want to get out and they want to enjoy the sunshine and the daytime and just to see all the things that are out there to be seen and to enjoy them. Well, our walk in Christ is to be full of light. The light of the Word of God, the light of Christ. And this light, of course, is Christ himself. And we find that when Jesus talks about himself coming into the world. And in the book of John, in the very first few verses of John, we find that Jesus says something about this. And so I'd like you to turn there and just read in the first chapter of John, and it says this. In verse 4 it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's John 1:4. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness overcame it not. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. Well, we could read on further, but I think you get the point here. Jesus is the light of the world. John was not the light. John the Baptist, he was not the light. But he was the one to come and to say, the light of the world has come. Jesus has come. Jesus is the light, and it is to dispel darkness. That light would dispel the darkness in man and give them the hope of eternal life. Well, we find that then we are to walk in that light. We are to walk in that light. And so in Ephesians 5:15 it says, see then that ye walk circumspectly. Walk in that light, uprightly. The word circumspectly means uprightly. Standing up, true and faithful, and diligently walking for the Lord. Not as fools, but as wise. Another contrast. You know, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. But the wise person seeks the will of God and trusts in God. And so he's contrasting the fool with the wise person here. And then he says in verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now, all he's saying, all of this to lead us into a very important truth, that we are to not only walk in the light, that we are to live in the light, that we are to enjoy the light because Christ gives it to us. And he says, he uses a metaphor of redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, this is kind of like a commercial term almost in this sense. He said, we're to buy up the time. Well, you know how easy time can slip through your fingers. You get up in the morning, you have a cup of coffee, you get dressed, you want to start something for the day, but if you don't immediately have some plan to do something, before you know it, it's 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and then it's 11 o'clock, and it's almost time to eat again. Where did the time go? Or if you really have to go to work in the morning and be someplace, you kind of really have to scurry around, don't you? And if you don't kind of stay with the program and stay on track for going to work, the time can get away from you. And pretty soon you say, oh, wow, where'd the time all go? And you're in a rush to get out to the car and get to work. And time has a way of escaping us. And what does Paul say? He says, redeem the time. He says, if you want to walk in the light, if you want to really be the light that you need to be for Christ in your life, he says you need to buy up the time. In other words, you need to watch that clock in the sense of your spiritual life and buy up that time. Redeem it, because it's going to just flitter away if you don't. And that's why he says, because the days are evil. In other words, there's always something that will steal away your moment for the Lord. There's always something that will steal it away. That's the evil part of it. It's not that every day is evil in the sense of being sinister. But it is true that time does escape us. And the escaping of it can be a bad thing, because we may fail to do the things that we are supposed to be doing for the Lord and to be responsible. He says, then in verse 17, he says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding. Another contrast here. One who is unwise, of course, doesn't understand. But one who is wise will understand. Be ye not unwise. He uses a negative term. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so he has explained to us primarily what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? We need to be alert for Christ. We need to walk in the light, in the truth of Christ. We need to make sure we can buy up the moment for the Lord and to do the things that we're responsible to do, that we might honor God. And if we will do those things, then we will not only conserve our time, but we will use it wisely and use it with understanding. Now, as we go into the next section here, we find that the believer's walk turns to the believer's welfare. Our welfare is being Christian. Some of the things that actually benefit us in a very good way. There's a lot of kind of focusing today on people's welfare. They got to eat right, they got to live right, they got to dress right, they got to exercise right. All the things that we're told to do. We find that the health and welfare of our life is important physically. But spiritually, the health and welfare of our life is important too. And we find that the spiritual sense is one which is in relationship to Christ and our true faith in Christ. And this is where the spiritual welfare comes into play, and our songs of faith are known unto us. How does that be incorporated into our life? Well, you might want to say it has something to do with our the word mental attitude is used a lot today in the world, but the spiritual attitude of things. And for the Christian, the spiritual attitude and the mental attitude kind of come together in a sense that, well, if you've got your heart right with God, your mental attitude and your spiritual attitude are going to be kind of in sync with where God wants you to be in your life. And all you got to do is think about it just for a moment, and you'll see, well, some days when I get up, I kind of just can't get myself together mentally. Maybe a little confused, maybe a little disoriented, maybe I'm just tired or something like that. Or maybe, heaven forbid, we're in a bad mood. Oh dear. You know, you're having a bad mood day. And it seems like the people that are around you, you say, well, why did that person say that? And then you begin to question, well, is it them or is it me? Can't quite figure this one out. And immediately, of course, we think it's them. But when actually, in reality, it's probably us. And we find that, the mental attitude and spiritual attitude for the Christian is really where we are with the Lord and how we handle our emotions and feelings. Well, one of them is being spirit-filled. We can handle our emotions better when we're spirit-filled. Now, what spirit are we going to be filled with? Now, here he's also talking about some contrasts. The contrast that he's using, one that might seem a little strange to us, but it is one that fits the profile. The contrast is, are we going to be filled with the spirit of something in the world, or are we going to be filled with the something that is of God? And the thing that is of the world that he uses here for an example is the spirit of alcohol. He uses that. Well, of course, we know that alcohol is something which is consumed all around the world. It's people use it everywhere. But in the first century church, and I just recently heard this, that the first century people who kind of in their normal everyday living, they might use wine a lot on the table, but it was mixed five parts to one part or something to that effect. In other words, the table wine, they diluted down. Well, you can imagine. I mean, you couldn't go around drinking wine all day and still be in your right mind. I mean, you'd be not only tipsy, but you probably couldn't function. You'd find it difficult in a lot of things to do. So the table wine, because they had to drink wine more often than they did water, because there wasn't a very good water, wasn't that all that good, perhaps. Maybe a lot of minerals in it or whatever that were not so good. So the wine, they would dilute it. And the table wine was then diluted down. So, but if you really wanted to get drunk, as you might say, you just wouldn't dilute it, right? If somebody was going to a party somewhere and they were serving wine, they probably wouldn't dilute it because they wouldn't go there for that purpose, you know, just casual something to drink, you know, with your potatoes and beans or whatever, and your pita bread. But no, so what does he say? And be not drunk with wine, which is in excess. Now remember, he's doing a contrast again. And this contrast is this. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. Now even today, they use that term for alcohol. They say spirits. I don't know. The state of Maine has their own little ads, you know, about spirits, and they'll show somebody mixing a drink on television and talk about the spirits, and then they'll say at the end, drink responsibly. So alcohol is like a spirit in the sense that it influences you. It influences the person who drinks it. So he says, be not drunk with wine, in which is an excess. Don't let that spirit take over you, because it is going to emotionally affect you in many different ways. And, of course, there's a lot today said about don't drink and drive and so forth. And we know that it can be very harmful and cause an accident or something, or worse. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, the Spirit that for the Christian is really going to enlighten us, that we might have the light of Christ, and motivate us, that we might be of the right mental attitude and spiritual attitude, and help us to use the time wisely, redeem the time, because time can just slip away, he says is this. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you may notice that your word Spirit in the Bible here is capitalized. It's for the Holy Spirit. This one is the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit of God. And so we find that the Spirit of God in the believer's life is the Spirit that helps our health and welfare as believers. Our health and welfare is really improved when we are under the influence of the Spirit of God and not the spirits of the world. And then thirdly, he goes on to say, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Now here are the songs of faith. The natural outcome then of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life is not only to enliven us and give us joy and thanksgiving and a kind of spirit which is uplifted and happy, if you will, is that spirit of the Holy Spirit which will help us to capitalize on things that are of God. The psalms and the hymns and spiritual songs. Now, here we find that these three types of songs are integral to us as believers. We started off this morning with Holy, Holy, Holy. It's a very worshipful song. Well, that isn't exactly a psalm, is it? And then we sang the I Belong to the King. That one isn't so much a worship song as it is a kind of a witness song. It tells about your life. You belong to Jesus. You belong to the Savior. And it's kind of a witness song. And so there is a difference, is what I'm saying, between these kinds of songs of faith that are being explained to us here. And then he talks about psalms, and what is a psalm? We might think of the 23rd psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, there's even a hymn that uses the 23rd psalm as a song. And as I've already said, these psalms in the Old Testament are a type of psalter, and they were used to sing antiphonally to the Lord. It's kind of like a choir was here and a choir was here, and one would sing one set of verses and another would sing another, and it was kind of antiphonal back and forth. They would sing that way. We find that these psalms then were essential to the believer's faith, the believer's love for God. And they reflected that. And so he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now notice here also it says speaking to yourselves, plural. When we come to church, what do? Well, we don't have a big conversation so much as we do talk to one another through the music and the songs of our faith. And we say those words because we believe that those words are a part of our faith. They are songs of faith. And we sing to us, ourselves that way. You may not think you're singing to me when you're singing, and I don't necessarily hear you personally when you're singing. I hear everybody. But that's what we're doing. We're singing to one another. And, of course, we're singing to the Lord. But this sense of speaking to yourselves, to one another, and you're singing to yourself, and, you know, the songs that you sing personally at home, you may sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, or you may sing some other hymn or in the hymnal. And why do you do that? Well, you enjoy the melody, you enjoy the words, and you're singing to yourself, you're speaking to yourself in that way. And these become a means of encouraging us in our Christian walk of faith. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So we're not always singing to one another. We're not always singing to ourselves. We're singing to the Lord. We sing to the Lord. And, you may not think you have a very good voice, and that really doesn't matter. Because the rejoicing that you rejoice is one that the Lord receives because you are in fellowship with Him. Not because you have a nice tenor voice or a nice soprano voice or an alto voice or something. It's because you just love the Lord and you're just singing those songs of faith and they lift you up. And these things then are a part of the inner life of the Spirit-filled believer. They are the inner life of the Spirit-filled believer. They're what gives us a spiritual life. The songs that we sing, our relationship to Christ, the Word of God, because these songs do reflect to us what we know within the Word of God. They reflect the Word of God. In fact, in our hymn book, we find that we reject any verses that don't adequately teach what the Bible says. We reject them. We don't put them in the hymnal. No, we only want the hymns that are in there that really reflect what we believe. What a friend we have in Jesus. We believe Jesus is our friend. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, it says in Scripture. And John chapter 15, he tells about how that relationship with Him is one of friendship that we have with Christ. And so we look for songs that reflect the Word of God, that speak the Word of God to our hearts. And of course the example of the first one is very adequate as well. God is holy, holy, holy. And that hymn speaks about seraphims and cherubims. And where does that come from? Isaiah chapter 6. You just read Isaiah chapter 6, the first part of it there, and you will find that though all of those words are right there. The meaning of those words are right there in Isaiah chapter 6. See, this is the kind of thing that we sing. We sing the Word of God because they are made into lyrics. And then we sing those songs of faith because they are psalms to us. They comfort us. Because they are hymns to us. They help us to worship. They are spiritual songs. They are part of what we say to God. I belong to the King. And so these songs are reflecting the songs of our faith. They are the songs of our faith. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So even if you perhaps say, well, I don't have a very good voice, you can make melody in your heart. You can sing from your heart and even to yourself. You can just sing to yourself and not even be heard by anybody else. Or you can kind of hum it. let the Lord know that you're in tune with Him. In verse 20 he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have the next step in the whole process of walking in faith as a believer. And the welfare and the health of our faith as a believer, the songs of our faith, and then there is the thanksgiving he talks about in verse 20. He says, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Now, the all things have to do with the all things of our faith. The all things that have to do with Christ. The all things of our relationship under the Spirit-filled believer, as a Spirit-filled believer. The all things that relate to our walk of faith with the Lord. And so we don't have to think of, well, oh, do I have to thank the Lord for tripping my foot and falling down and skinning my shin or something? That isn't really what it's talking about here. No, this is talking about our walk of faith. It's talking about our love for the Lord. It's talking about the light of Christ in us. It's talking about those things that bind us together, those songs of faith and walk of faith and health, spiritual health, which is pleasing to God. Well, sometimes we do trip and fall. But we can't allow that ruin our faith, can we? No. Oh, we get up, bandage it up, take care of ourselves, and continue walking on in faith with the Lord. And we don't forget the songs of faith. We remember them. And we love the Lord. He says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he says, unto God the Father. And then he says, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have the Holy Spirit in verse 18. We have God the Father in verse 20. And we have God the Son also in verse 20. Now see, that is called the triunity of the Godhead. That is called Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And even though the word Trinity doesn't appear in Scripture, the teaching of that concept does appear in Scripture. It is called the triunity of the Godhead. Three in one. Three personages of the Godhead in one. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. Then we have the Holy Spirit, of course, which is spirit itself, who is involved in infilling the believer and living in the believer by the very nature of our salvation. And then Christ himself, who came in the fullness of time, born of a virgin, that he came into this world, the Son of God, that he came to die for the sins of the world, that he came as the only begotten Son of God, who was without sin, and he brought with him the hope of eternal life as he completed and fulfilled the will of God in redemption. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Then he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We find that one of the most important things that we can have together as Christians is not only our relationship to Christ, but our relationship to one another. The support group within the church is the born-again believers, the assembly of believers, who love the Lord and want to love one another and want to live in the light of Christ and want to walk in that faith, who enjoy the songs of the faith, who enjoy the ministry of the Spirit of God and being under the influence of the Spirit of God rather than the spirit of this world. And so that fellowship that we have one with another in the fear of God is most important. And so let us then enjoy the songs of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Loving Father, I pray that you'll encourage us with these words this morning. Help us also to see our relationship to you, and that all these things are important to the health and welfare of our spiritual walk of faith in Jesus Christ our Lord, that we might be a good testimony in this world, and that we might live in true faith and in true fellowship with you and with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.